what's happening in Fairfield County. Lisa has something to say about it. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
So, in a year that's been quite a year, one of the moral dilemmas of our time now, and it's a good one to have in a way, is the dilemma of who should be lined up to get the vaccine first and why. And this debate is going on in a lot of places. And, you know, like many other decisions that have been made for us, there are a couple of bodies out there like the CDC, occasionally the World Health Organization, our own governor, who have been leading in the way of trying to figure this out in real time as we have been living through this pandemic. Now, there is a lot of controversy about who should be next in the vaccine line. And I have been reading a multitude of different opinions about this. Many people suggest it shouldn't merely be scientists, but it should be philosophers, politicians, you and I, regular people, that this is a decision that has to be made based on a variety of different things that we're considering. And one of the big deciding criteria is whether or not we are aiming to vaccine people, to vaccinate people, to stop the spread of the disease among the whole population, to theoretically get us back to quote-unquote normal, or whether we are trying to reduce the amount of people who will die from COVID-19 in the short term until we can get this vaccine to everybody in the longer term. And this debate played out on the pages of the Norwalk Hour over the weekend, where Claire Dignan wrote a front page article, Who Should Be Next in the Vaccine Line, which focused on the opinions of people in the NAACP with respect to how communities of color have been disproportionately hit with this. And for a variety of reasons, they are advocating that their communities get these vaccines, no matter their age. But Harry Aurora's representative Aurora, who joins us now from the 151st, argues that a different criteria, he thinks a more important criteria, is about saving lives. Representative Aurora, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show, and incidentally, congratulations on your recent victory in November.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you, and good morning to all your listeners, and hope you had a good Christmas today, different from this time, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I was reading your argument. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about why you say that we should offer 90% of all vaccine allocation to our seniors in descending order of age and the rest, the 10%, to healthcare workers directly exposed to COVID. Tell us how you came to that conclusion.
So, you know, what's most important about this pandemic, or what's the real challenge, is that for 10 to 15% of our population who get COVID, it becomes a really difficult situation and many times leads to hospitalization and death. Whereas for the other 85, 90% of the people, it's like not even like a flu. I had it, and I'll tell you, this was less than a flu. You know, it was more than a cold, less than a flu. But 10 or 15%, and the day I got it, my real worry was, is it going to be the one which 80 or 90% of the people get
right.
it, and I'm 50 years old.
Right.
So the real prioritization has to be to save lives, because if there's nobody who gets hurt from it, who dies from it, then what happens is that the status of this flu and the fear for this flu and the harm from the flu is vastly reduced. It is mm-hmm. reduced to a five-day
right.
bed and then
like
go back to
work. Like any other human disease we have, and we go about our business. Exactly. Right.
That's correct. Yeah. It's more infectious, we know, so we still have to mask up and all of that unless...
Well, I don't know if we'll have to mask up forever. I mean, you know, flu is infectious too, and we haven't gone about our lives with masking. I think once COVID-19 is integrated into our lives, frankly, I hope that we're not asked to mask forever. Do you know what I mean?
No, I would say that once the vaccination goes to 40, 50, a larger number, where
yes.
the
yes.
then which should be by the summer, I'm assuming that the masking need will fall radically. But this is
yes.
the most important thing.
Yes,
that
I agree.
If we prioritize the elderly, the number of deaths from COVID will fall dramatically. Today, 40 people in Connecticut, and I'm only giving you numbers for Connecticut, 40 to 50 people are dying on an average every day. And a lot of them are seniors. Most of them are seniors. Now, if we follow a plan where we prioritize the elderly, by February 1, the number of people who will die from COVID will fall from this 40 number to under one.
Really? How do you know this, Representative Arora? Tell me what data, what science you've got to back that up.
The science is simple. 95% of all people who die from COVID are seniors.
Yeah.
Right? And this is data from a very large amount of body of data. It's not disputed. So if you think about it, that from just take the numbers, 40 to 50, you reduce it by 95%, you're down to one. There is some other benefits which come from vaccination. So you are close to one or under one a day by February 1, because we know with the number of vaccines and the fact that 17% of our population is seniors, we can vaccinate all of them by February 1. Right?
You know, it should be said, I want to read a little bit from Harry Arora's op-ed. He writes, most experts agree with this assessment. The United Kingdom and Canada are setting up vaccination programs prioritizing the elderly. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, said recently, if your goal is to maximize the preservation of human life, then you would bias the vaccine toward older Americans. If your goal is to reduce the rate of infection, then you would prioritize essential workers. And in fact, I believe Scott Gottlieb, I don't want to misquote him, but I believe that he was arguing with the CDC because he felt that older people absolutely should be vaccinated first.
Right. And it's not even a kind of a conflict. If you ask most younger people, you have one vaccine, would you want to give it to your 70-year-old father or mother, or would you want to take it right now? And you're 35 years old and you show them what's going on in terms of who's dying, they will very simply, easily, they won't have any conflict. They will say, hey, listen, you know, give it to my mom or my dad.
I feel
and
that
I
way,
would
too.
Do that, so
100%.
I would do
100%.
It, too, right? And so the question here is, then, if we land up in February 1 and follow any of the other policies, especially if you give half the vaccines to other younger people, it doesn't matter what they work, hopefully we're giving them to those who are out and about, then you will have 20 deaths a day instead of 40 right now. Now, it is everybody, I don't care who says what. If do you want 20 deaths a day starting February 1 or 40 deaths a day starting February 1?
So why is that not clearly the policy yet in the United States? Because I really don't think it is. I think people are struggling to find out what the policy is. We all know what 1A was, but 1B, 1C, 2, there seems to be a lot of actual confusion at the dinner table about who gets it next.
That's really why I'm advocating, and I'll tell you, the idea is resonating. You know that the idea resonates with everyone, younger, older, if you explain the facts and the numbers behind it. There is not, it's not a question that we should the idea that we should reserve a very large proportion. That's 1994, 85% of our vaccines for the elderly. That's not a question. It is the whole idea is that there's a lot of folks who want to have a say in it, but they don't want to look at the numbers. They want to, or the basic idea. It is about preserving human life. This is not about playing one sector against the other, one age group against the other, because even younger people will feel safe if they know nobody is dying from it, and they
Absolutely.
Will do things more, right? So the problem with the pandemic is not that, hey, listen, it leads to, you know, 4 days of discomfort as it did for me, and I was in bed and I was, you know, I was still zooming half the time. The problem is that some people die, and most of them, 94% of them who die, which is not a conflicted number, not a arguable number, are people over 60. So if we basically go descending order of age, and this is also a very objective measure. The reason I think it's the only right way is because it's a very objective measure. 75, 70, 65, you don't have to basically go around and say how much were you out, which work you, is this work better than other. It is objective, it's clear, it saves 95% of the lives. It will lead to a practical end of the pandemic very soon.
I think you're right.
Right. So, and I think
I
really
agree
need your
you,
help and everybody
I
to
think
really
that that's how
it.
We have to do it. We know what the numbers in Connecticut are. 4 out of 5 people that perish from COVID-19 were in a congregate care setting of a nursing home or assisted living. Therefore, by definition, they were older with comorbidities. We made an easy decision that they should get vaccinated, numero uno, like right away. But the reality is it wasn't just their comorbidities that made them vulnerable. It was their age. And I agree with you. I think we have to go in descending order of age until we run out and get the next batches, and then we can, you know, hopefully vaccinate everybody who wants to be vaccinated. It's not going to be that long before everybody gets vaccinated, but this winter that Dr. Fauci is talking about, we're in it right now. I happen to agree with your point of view. I do.
And just extrapolate their numbers to all across the country. You know, I had done this simple calculation, and this is simple math. This is not complex math. You know, that if you do something like this, you will save 200,000 lives. I don't see why we should not. If somebody can debunk the math and say, well, it's only 20 lives, then I am okay. Even then, I'll say 20 lives is better than no lives. But it is 200,000 lives, and my error in this is by 10-15%. So you're going to save hundreds of thousands of lives. And to say anything else is the right way, not giving 90% in descending order, and then reserving 10% for the healthcare for the person who is right in front line. If I'm treating COVID patients, I need to be given, and we already are doing that.
So let me ask you this. You're a representative, Harry Arori. You represent the 151st in Greenwich. You're now somebody with not just the power of being able to write something down, but the power of being an elected representative. How do you take your passion about this and bring it to the governor, bring it to committees in the legislature? What can you do to effectuate this?
So really, practically right now, the way things are getting done is that the governor's office and the DPH, the Department of Public Health commissioner, as well as a small number of advisors are the ones who are making the decision. And they're using CDC guidelines. So what I'm doing right now is basically sending asking all of these decision makers, maybe 20 of them, and individually sending it to them and saying, listen, this is what we have to do. Right. And this is why. This is what we suggest we should do. And this is why. Because it will save lives. It will end the pandemic or the menace of the pandemic. It will not end the pandemic because there will still be spread. But it will end the harm from the pandemic in 5 weeks' time. Right.
Absolutely. This is
now we are looking
at
the end.
Right. I mean, if fewer people die from this, it's not a scary pandemic. It's just a pandemic of people getting sick from something. But the point is the fatality of it, right? We have not been able to knock it down from less than 1%. We have not been able to knock it down to less than 1%. And that becomes a roulette wheel. Nobody wants to be on that wheel.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to all the decision makers. And the second tier, which I'm doing, is then going to folks who can, you know, other legislators, my caucus members, others, all of the legislators, not just, this is not a party issue at all. And then saying, now listen, maybe the governor will listen better to you because you're the, for you have better, you know, he needs to listen to, he needs to be getting the same message from many people. And from you, for example, Lisa, if you basically agree with this, you carry weight. You say, well, I've seen Harry's argument. I've seen all the other data, and I think I too agree with it. And then what happens is that there is much more weight or a very tearful analysis done, and either somebody comes out and says, well, you know what? This is nobody can come out and say we don't want to save lives. That's not acceptable. That just is not the right thing. So if somebody comes out and says these numbers don't look this way, or then that's okay. But I have run it by so many people, and as you quoted Dr. Gottlieb, who knows who's the authority, Mike Vasek, who, and many other people, because I didn't just come out when once I did the paper my op-ed and my analysis, and I have a couple of spreadsheets behind it, I showed it to many experts. Is it something I'm just doing wrong? They're like, no, your numbers are just right. It's just getting a little bit too committee think, where, you know, obviously the other way also you're saving lives whenever you get vaccinated. But in terms of numbers, this is a superior plan.
By the way, Scott Gottlieb, I don't know if he still lives in Westport. I think he does, but I know that he certainly did for the time before he was the FDA commissioner. So he may very well still be a Fairfield County resident. Just so you know.
I think he is. Yeah. Hopefully he's listening, and he might also advocate for it in his home state.
Yeah. Well, Harry Arori, thank you very much. I think it's really important. I think it's worthy that the hour put you into the op-ed the same time that they were doing, you know, an analysis in terms of interviews of what different community leaders think about this. Because, you know, obviously it's a moral issue of our time. We definitely want communities of color to be to have faith in taking the vaccine. We don't want them to be, because in numbers, when compared to white people, they seem to still be less, less confident that maybe the vaccine will work on them. So it's important for people in communities of color to see other people getting it. But as you say, you know, age is age. It cuts across all different other kinds of ways we divide people. And if we just do it by age, it's going to have the same cross-section in every community. So,
Without a doubt, even within any community, whether it's black or whether it's Latino, you know, the younger demographic is much less at risk, much. Again, those numbers do not change in terms of the order of magnitude, where the older person is much more vulnerable to a serious outbreak or a serious condition and hence death. So, when you think about it,
if you can eliminate the older people from getting it altogether, which the vaccine does, you take a tremendous stress off the hospitalization system, which means for the younger people that may get very sick from this, and there will be some, we have more healthcare resources to spend on those fewer people that will get sick from COVID-19, because it is a roulette wheel even in the younger years.
Absolutely. And let me tell you one other thing, which I didn't mention in the article, that even once you have done 65, if you basically go from 65, keep going down to 55 or 50, after 50, the numbers of people or the percentage of people who get hurt with this pandemic is so small, because from 65 to 50, there is still some people. So to give you an idea, you go from 0 to 94% of the people are covered by the age of 60. By the age of 50, 98.9% of the people are covered, 99%. And by the age of 40, nearly 99.99, it gets close to 100. There's still, you know, a few people, but it comes, then you can count with two hands, you know, on your hand. Oh, there's 14 people or 11 people over the whole entire population who are going to get hurt. So my point is that even when you go down beyond the senior's age, I think we keep going down by descending age, with the small exception that people who are vulnerable are in direct line of fire.
Sure. Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Harry Arora, on the Lisa Wexler Show today. We'll keep following this. And I do thank you for writing and for being on the show. You're listening to
Thanks
the Lisa Wexler
me.
Show. Thank you. On WICC 600, our number 203-333-9422. And we will be right back.